This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater fans. Welcome back to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. This is where we sit down and we talk about the fun stuff we do in our theater. I'm DJ, and this is a pretty special week. Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga came out. So I asked my buddy John, co-host over at Bright Side Chat, where we talk comics and a lot of Star Wars. Well, he told me to buy the saga after he bought it. We both bought it back in November. Of course, like I said, he made sure he got his copy ordered and ready to go before, because he didn't want me to get the last copy and then he'd be without. Because, you know, they only made six of these bad boys and he wanted to make sure he got one of them. So welcome in my buddy John. He's got his own home theater. We'll talk about that in a second. How we doing, John?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for forcing me into this.
Oh, you sound like you're nervous, like you've never done a podcast before.
No, I'm in capable hands. I couldn't be more comfortable.
Nice, nice. So let's talk home theater. We've messed around with this over at Brightside Chat, and we tried not. We actually, when we started Brightside Chat, it was supposed to be home theater and comics, and.
Yeah, it didn't mix well. Yeah.
No, even I got bored. I was like, okay, this isn't going to work well. Of course, the movies mix over. We talk movies over there, and we break the movies down to what we like and don't like, but we don't really mess around too much with the in-theater experience. But here's your opportunity. Tell everybody, what do you have for a theater? What kind of theater do you have? What equipment do you have, and what room do you have? What do you got?
Well, my theater, unfortunately, is my living room. I don't have space in my house for a dedicated theater room anymore. So I've done, you know, the best I can with the space that I have. You know, I think I've got a pretty good setup as far as equipment goes, but I'm not, you know, obviously not able to get the experience that you're able to get in your theater because I'm not set up that way.
Well, it's just a dedicated room. Yeah. You have great equipment.
I have great equipment, but I can't get the acoustics. I can't get the bass response. I can't get some of the things that you can get, you know, in your theater. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you want me to read down the specs of my equipment, I don't know if everybody...
Yeah, let's nerd out. Let's have some fun.
...wants that. All right, well, let me pull my... You know, I don't have them memorized. I don't know if you do, but let me pull up...
No, I don't.
Let me pull up my list of stuff that I have here. All right, so to start it off, you know, I start with my TV, of course. You know, you gotta have a screen. So yep. I've got a Sony X900F 75-inch 4K TV running a Sony UBP X700 4K Blu-ray player. They work well together, obviously with the Dolby Vision and all that stuff. AV receiver, I've got a Denon AVRX 6500. And for my media players, I have an Apple TV 4K, and I also have a Fire TV Cube, which I never use because I much prefer the Apple TV to the Amazon. For speakers, I'm running, and I don't know how to say this for a home theater guy,
Klipsch.
That's what I run. So I run two towers in the front. I have the RP8000F. Towers for my center. I've got the RP500C. I've got four R51Ms for surround, and I've got four Yamaha in-ceiling 140-watt Atmos speakers, and then I'm running two SVS PC2000 subwoofers. So that is my.
You must
setup.
Get decent bass, though.
Well, I get pretty good bass.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not 100% sure. You know, again, I just got most of this equipment at Christmas. So I haven't played around with
Santa
some of the.
Santa was good to you.
Yeah, I was good to me. But the only thing I haven't done is changed and played too much with the positioning of the subs. you know, to do any further movement around, I need to get one of the wireless receivers for the subwoofer so I can put one in an angle behind me or, you know, do some playing around there. But, you know, I definitely get some, you know, these SVS subs are giant. They're almost as big as I am.
They're end
tables.
They're
definitely as big around as I am. And they're almost as tall as me. So they're
are they really?
Well, they're no, but they're no. They're 3.5. I think they're 38 inches high.
Nice.
And 17.5 inches around. So I mean, they're massive.
That's, yeah.
You know, they're massive. You know, I don't have to tell you what my wife had to
I was
say
just
going to
say the other thing you need is permission.
And saw, yeah, when she walked in and saw those things at the front of the room. But yeah, all in all, I've got everything I need. The only thing I would like to upgrade at some point it would be my Blu-ray player. You know, it's a great player, but it's a $180 Blu-ray player. You know, there's obviously some better quality Blu-ray players out on the market. And then, you know, I don't really have the setup for a projector, at least not easily. So at some point,
you
I'd
have
like,
a fan in the way, so you yeah, have to do a lower hanging projector.
Yeah. So at some point, unless I can get one of those short throws,
yeah,
or just a nice OLED set would be the only upgrades that I'm really looking for at this point. But other than that, sound wise, you know, I'm right where I need to be. So
yeah. I've said that many times. It's like even when you were looking at TVs when we were talking a while ago about that, it's like I have always been like you just get bigger, then work on quality, upgrade to quality from there once you get to the size that you like.
Right. And again, sound, there's nothing, you know, this this Sony TV, you know, there's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
But, you know, I mean, because it was, I want to say $3,600 or so when I bought it. So, I mean, it's definitely a high quality set, but it's not the OLED. It, you know, it's still an LED set. So I can't get the really deep blacks that I want to get out of it. But
you're not going to get those deep blacks with a projector either. It's projectors can't go as deep as an OLED.
Well, no.
Definitely not.
No.
Projectors can't even do the HDR as well. I mean, they can't. It's just, they don't have that. They can't get as bright.
Right.
But you know, a decent HDR, like even the my guy with the Sony, he's like, this is probably the best HDR you can get. I know a lot of people like the Epsons, but for some reason, my guy's against the Epsons. He thinks it's wonky. It's not true, and that's why he went with the Sony and had me get the Sony, but. You know what? It's all relative. You know, it's like what you have is what you have. And that's my next question to you is going to be, have you ever had a dedicated room and then you moved to this house and you lost it? Or
I had a dedicated room at my previous home, but I didn't have the equipment that I have now.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I did have a home theater set up there. And I had a nice, you know, 65-inch set. You know, and like I said, I had some decent surround. I had also a Denon receiver, but much older model. This was 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So, I mean, I had a pretty nice setup at the time.
Yep.
But I would like to have that room back with the equipment that I have now.
Exactly.
You know, I had to sell the house. We downgraded, but I upgraded my equipment. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, again, I've always been in, you know, I've always loved the hobby,
right?
You know, maybe not. You know, I don't. I've never gone quite as deep as you have, but you know, I've always been a home theater guy, and
yeah.
So I've always had the pieces, never been able to put it all together.
Yeah, so, it's you know. And that, but that's the thing. It's like when you start to get it all together. The hardest thing for me would be to go from a dedicated room like I have, and then not have that. But as long as you keep progressing forward, you never know what you're missing anyways. You know,
right.
And that's why I think of, like, we'll get into today's movies, but I think back to watching these movies over the years, and they were great experiences I had with far, far less equipment. In an apartment living room, you know, and I had awesome experiences.
27-inch TVs. And...
I was, exactly. I had a weird, like, I think I had a 26-inch TV when I was younger, and I'm like, who makes a 26?
Yeah.
But that was huge. That was the biggest I could afford.
Yeah, and just like, and a two-channel surround sound setup and,
Oh, yeah, Dolby Pro Logic and
it,
through a cassette tape. but those were great experiences. And yeah. then, and like, that's why I was dying to get you on. Ever since the Saga set was announced, I'm like, we have to do this together. At least this episode, I'll try to get you for more, but you know.
Again, but now's the time. I'm not super busy.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a couple of tweets this week that I wanted to talk about before we get into our stuff. First up, we have Joshua St. John on Twitter at JSTJohn83. He asked, what exactly does IMAX Enhanced do for a regular TV? And I wanted to touch on that because there's a lot of stuff on the internet on like, oh, you got to have IMAX Enhanced. You got to have this. And from everything I've heard, all it does is switch on certain things. Like, so if you have an IMAX Enhanced TV or projector, it'll just switch on everything to put it in like cinema mode, for instance. It'll darken and it'll set everything to what IMAX thinks you should have on. And then on a receiver for sound, it sets it to DTSX.
Right.
I've heard rumors. I haven't had this confirmed, but I've heard rumors that it does something special with your surround sound channels where it changes it spatially. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I have heard from over at AV Rant, and Rob said, and I trust Rob, the one negative to it is it shuts off your base management. So right. if you're running multiple subwoofers and you've done all of this stuff, it shuts all that off. And it's, you don't want to do that. So you just want to keep it in in DTSX anyways.
Right.
So my thing, and you see me on Twitter and stuff say, like, I'm dying for movies to come out when IMAX enhanced. Here's why. Because I look at that as like a THX stamp. And if you're going to put a movie out in IMAX Enhanced, you know that they're putting out the best possible sound that they can put into that and the best picture because they're trying to show off what IMAX Enhanced is and make people want to buy their gear and the DVD, the Blu-rays and everything, right? So that to me is like, that's what I want. I want the best sound. I want to have that bumped up sound. I want to have that great picture. I want, you know, so I'm hoping that that's what I'm getting. I'm not necessarily worried about, you know, all the little tweaks or whatever it does to the system because I've had my projector professionally calibrated. I don't want IMAX coming in and switching on a bunch of stuff that's going to change it because when you have your projector calibrated, it's calibrated to your room.
Right.
You know, so however dark your room is or whatever light you have bouncing or how close the walls are, that's all of that factors into when you get a professional calibration. IMAX in a lab, they don't know what my room looks like. I don't want them making those switches. So,
yeah, and I don't honestly, I can't answer because I've got equipment that's capable of producing that, but I don't have one single bit of content that takes advantage of it. So, I don't have anything that would show it off.
So the new one, Bad Boys for Life, is coming out in IMAX Enhanced.
Yeah, and I know Zombieland 2,
yep,
but I don't
and
have
I saw
that. Yeah, I don't own that yet. There aren't too many mainstream films that have it.
Not yet, yeah.
I know there's some, you know, nature documentary. There's some different things, documentary style, that you can buy, but I don't have any. I don't have anything. I'm waiting for some of the mainstream releases that I would buy anyways to come out and have it.
Yeah, I did Zombieland and Zombieland 2 back to back, and I'll be honest, I didn't see much of a difference.
No.
I didn't get any, like, oh wow, the sound was that much better, or oh, the picture was whatever. It just, that might be because Zombieland was pretty good cut. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, or you're professionally calibrated, so you're getting the best you can get, anyways.
True,
and you're just not going to see a difference because it can't really get any
right.
better. So
right. There's also, I mean, I'm wondering how much IMAX Enhanced is going to mean in a year or so with that cinema mode. I think that's what it's called.
Filmmaker mode.
Yeah. Where that's supposed to be like a calibration for you.
Right.
That's what you're meant to see.
Yeah. It's like Dolby Vision
up.
And.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I have one more. This was a fun conversation. So Adriano, the nerd on Twitter, at Adriano tweets 87. So we just had a great back and forth about Underworld. Have you seen, do you like that series?
I do like the series. because I'm I'm a huge Kate Beckinsale fan. So, I even don't mind the second one with Rhona Mitra because she's a pretty good stand-in. But yeah, all kidding aside, I really do enjoy that series as well.
I love that series. Do you have Underworld 4K? In 4K,
I have Underworld in 4K.
The first one.
Yes,
That's the only one I have in 4K as well. Yeah. I don't even know if the other ones are, but
I don't think so.
I don't think they are. Yeah. That series since day one has had some of the best sound.
Yeah,
and it's funny because he replied after I said I love that. It's one of my guilty pleasures. You know, one of my many.
Yeah.
And in home theater, you have a ton of them because you like crappy movies because of sound or something. But I actually really enjoy the entire run of Underworld. I like that story. I don't think it's that crappy of a movie.
No, I don't either. I like it.
I like, there's a huge twist to it too, like four movies in.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. But yeah, he says his last tweet was, love the overall series. Yeah, the sound is awesome. I remember when I got the original on DVD and my parents going bananas because I had the sound cranked way too high in that opening train scene.
Yeah.
The train station scene with the gunshots and then the chase down the subway and that the noise, the way it went around the room and everything. And when she peeks around the corner and then that train comes and you get that jump scare moment. I thought that was, I love that movie.
See, and it's funny because I haven't watched that in 4K yet, even though I own it. So that may be one that I crack out this week.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with just Kate watching Beckinsale? Her jump off the top of a building and land.
Yeah.
She does that superhero landing.
That's right.
Nails it every time. So good. All right. All right. You ready to get into this week's movie of the week?
That's why you brought me here.
That's why I got you here. All right. Let's start off like this because, you know, we're going through a crisis right now, a worldwide crisis. We're going to really break this down. What was your experience like picking this up at the store?
Well, we both got it from Best Buy because, you know, we are talking about the Best Buy exclusive of the Skywalker saga because there are a couple of others out there. So probably the same as yours. Got the email early Tuesday morning that said my package was ready for pickup. I drove down to my Best Buy at 10 a.m. when they opened and actually got there early. And in case they ran out, maybe you got the last copy. And so, you know, the first thing I noticed is that the parking lot was pretty much sectioned off and blocked off except for like one row that you could go down. And they had a bunch of parking spaces for store pickup set up. And basically, you respond in the email that they send you. You check in and tell them what space you're in and what kind of car you're in. And so that's what I did. And it was really pretty quick. It was less than 5 minutes later. The guy came out, asked me to show my ID and my phone. And I rolled down the back seat. He threw it in. And then...
placed it gently.
He placed it gently on the back seat. when he walked away, I, you know, reached in, grabbed it. I had to take a look at it before I left. First thing I noticed, you know, it's 27 discs in a book, so it had some weight to it. You know, like, this isn't a flimsy set. Like, this thing has some substance to it. I looked up when I was getting ready to leave, and the guy was standing there giving me the thumbs up, so I guess he was making sure I was happy with what I got, and, took it home, cracked it open.
Yeah, I pretty much same experience. Right up to the, you pull up, I told him what truck I was in, and I went to show him my phone and my ID, and he goes, no, you're good.
Oh, really?
He just walked away.
Oh, yeah, because he actually made me fish out my ID, because I thought my phone would be enough. And
yeah, I had all mine ready, and he's like,
you should have told him you were missing some other stuff and had him bring it out.
Well, what was funny is as I was pulling away, you get the email that says your package has been picked up, and I wanted to reply, no, it hasn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he never asked for anything.
Right.
But, yeah, the packaging was – that's what I wanted to get to. Now, this is a really nice setup. The way you slide it open, and it locks. You can't take it apart.
Right.
It's one piece. They have that little ribbon to pull the book set out, which is really nice. So I read something on Twitter about somebody had a preview, and I read this last week, I believe, or over the weekend, that they didn't put – this is getting into the nitty-gritty, which I really don't get into.
Okay.
But it's about, like, the data rate and everything, how much megabytes it took to make the each of these disks, right? And they said it's rather low. They wished it was a little higher. But at the same time, these disks, I don't know about here. Here's a slight flaw. All of these, we look at each of these disks. I don't care. Even if it's the Blu-ray, we want to take care of these. We want them in pristine condition.
Mm-hmm.
You got to like Conan these things to get them, to get a disk out.
I was going to say, I am not in love with the packaging choice here.
Like I love the packaging. I don't like to pull a disk out.
Yeah. I do like the book and I like the artwork. I love the artwork. Yeah, it's a beautiful looking package, but yeah, you can't get these discs out. Like it's pretty hard.
It's hard, and you're afraid you're ruining your theater experience by like smudging the thing.
Well,
like,
here's the thing. Ugh. So the first movie I watched, I don't know if it matters now, but I went in numerical order. So the first movie I pulled out was Phantom Menace. I said I'm going to watch them 1 through 9. There's no spoilers for me,
no.
So I don't have to watch it in release order. So I pulled out Phantom Menace, and I was watching it, and I got about halfway through, and then randomly the little scene menu popped up on my screen.
Really?
And then it came down again, and I was like, well, that's odd, but I didn't really think too much about it.
Did you hit the remote or something?
No, I didn't. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm get to another scene, and it kind of stuttered for a second. And I was like, well, that's weird, too. But I just kept on watching, and then nothing else happened for the rest of the movie. Everything was great. When I took it out to put it away, well, there's a big, giant fingerprint on the bottom of the disc from when I pulled it out of the thing, because you can't.
Okay.
So I was like, well, maybe that was it. So
yeah.
I cleaned it off. I didn't have the heart to watch the movie again, back to back, but I'm thinking it's probably because I put this big giant fingerprint on the bottom of the disc, because you can't get them out.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull them out by like just holding as little bit of it as I can, because I know like if they put less information, you record from the middle out. So right. I'm hoping that maybe that's why they have like these discs are a little compressed, because there's no extras on any of these discs. That's why you have
a second
disc.
No, they're all
disc.
On the yeah, they're so all on the extra discs.
Maybe when designing the disc. Now I'm going way outside my area of expertise, which is paint. So I have no idea. But it just to me it's like I have a hard time, like, you know, when they're in the plastic case and they have the pop out through the middle and you have to
bend it a little?
Yeah,
sometimes they don't come off.
Oh, that scares me. I'm like, if you snap one, because I've been trained since my Laserdisc days, you handle these things with like cotton gloves and hold them by the side, and you couldn't pull these discs out with cotton gloves.
But I'll tell you, when I watched.
Sliding all over the place.
So I watched, I'm trying to pace myself out, so I'm only watching one a day. So I watched episode 2 today, and I pulled it out with one of those
pliers.
Cloths. No, but one of those the dust-free cloths.
Yeah,
you know, that you use to clean off your screens and stuff. I grabbed the end of it with that and pulled it out because I didn't want to put my fingerprints all over it.
Right,
I'm like, well, that's inconvenient. But
well, maybe it should have come with one.
Maybe you should have.
That would have been nice. A little
for $250.
Right,
they should have given us a.
I would have paid $350 for a dust-free cloth.
Exactly. But all that being said, the packaging overall is beautiful.
Yes.
Packaging. Even the outside has got like a sort of like a faux leather kind of feel to it.
Before I unwrapped it, I was saying to my son, I'm like looking at it going, is this leather under there? It's like it looks like it. It is beautiful. I don't know if you saw my picture on Twitter. I'm like, I am displaying this. It's part of my Star Wars collection in the back of the theater. But it looks beautiful, and I love everything about it, but like the ergonomics of it, like really, really bad. It's almost like you want to get a second one.
Yeah.
One to keep rip apart.
One to show and one to watch.
Right. It's tough. It's tough. What did you think of, Mark Hamill's letter?
I liked it. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I knew that was included because that got leaked early on. That there
was
a letter from him? No, I hadn't
read
it. I just knew that there was going to be one
included.
So Yeah, it's really the first thing that greets you when you open up the top part of the book. Yeah, and it was, you know, just a little some anecdotes about, you know, him and Harrison and Carrie when they started with Star Wars and the journey. And
how about the title?
Well, remember I told you that.
I know. Yeah. But just seeing it written out, it's like you kind of see where they got the
and, like,
Birds
of
Prey title.
That's a mouthful. Right, I was going to say, that's worse than the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
I know.
That would have been a mouthful. I wonder if we'd still be talking about these movies 40 years later if that was the title of it.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> I know. It was crazy. But I thought that letter was like, it was very heartfelt.
Yes.
Especially as a Star Wars fan. And it's, well, as to only a Star Wars fan, really. Because anybody else would be like, hey, whatever. But,
well, I think I'm going to hang it up in my room.
I was thinking the same thing.
I have a Star Wars shrine that I live in. I'm thinking about framing it and putting it up because it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty. It nice little touch, and it was worth it. Definitely. I'm glad I bought the set. I mean, $250. It's like
I am too.
We haven't
especially since it was paid for well before I picked it up.
Yeah, that like made
if
it.
If I had to drop in yesterday and drop $250 bucks on it,
yeah,
it would
especially
have been tough.
In this economical economic climate.
But paying for it back in early December or whenever it was that we bought this thing was made it
even then
pretty
it was
painless.
Tough. It was
well,
around
it was tough,
Christmas.
Yeah. But you got through it. Like yesterday right. I just had to pick it up and
yep.
then that was good
yep.
to go.
That was nice. So. All right. Let me tell you which movies I watched. Because you're going 1 through 9, which I find interesting. I just went with I had to go with Star Wars.
Yeah.
New Hope first. I had to. And then right after that, I threw in Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. So you're not going in any kind of order at all. You're just...
Actually, here's the thing. I had no intention of doing this, but after the fact, I realized what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
I'm going in my order of...
Oh,
favorites.
Your order of what you like. Yeah, your ranking.
Yeah, and I didn't do that intentionally. I did not like sit down.
But
and
unconsciously,
say,
you went for the one you like that you want to watch the most. And
well, Star Wars has been the movie that I always. If I revamp my theater, it's always the one I go to.
Right.
It's for me. It's like when I first built the theater, quote theater in quotation fingers, in my parents' basement, I watched it on tape.
Right.
You know, I was like, I want to see this. And every time I've redone a room. This is what I watch.
Yeah, and it was tough because even when Disney Plus launched, the very first thing I watched on Disney Plus was New Hope.
Yes.
And it was tough. Like, that was really where I wanted to go yesterday.
How did you not?
I don't know. I just wanted to – I was like, I'm just going to break the mold here and I'm just going to go in numerical order.
That's fun.
Because I'm deep into Rebels right now and I just finished the Clone Wars. So I kind of wanted to go back and fill in the blanks again. Because all these things are fresh for me. And,
that's a fun one.
You know, not to get into the story points of it, because that's not what this podcast is about at all. But I feel like the way we left Anakin at the end of Attack of the Clones is not where he picks up in the Clone Wars show. Like, there's a huge gap there, even though there shouldn't be. Like, he matures a lot in the cartoon.
Now that both versions are fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
So let's get into the experience. Sure. How did you like... What did you think of the sound in Atmos in these and the 4K? Now you've seen them. Did you see those two digitally on Disney Plus?
No.
Okay.
On Disney Plus, I've only watched A New Hope, actually, 3 times.
Okay.
I haven't watched any of the other ones because I knew this was coming, and I didn't really want to overdo it. But we watched it again on Christmas with my family. So I've watched A New Hope a couple times on Disney Plus. So again, the first thing I noted, now I can't compare apples to apples, obviously, because I'm comparing A New Hope with Phantom Menace. But I still found the sound and picture quality superior to Disney Plus, you know, in every way. Now, that being said, I wasn't super blown away by the 4K transfer in Phantom Menace, except for like Naboo. You know, the courtyards and the palace scenes and all that stuff. I mean, the detail was incredible. Like, it really looked great. But otherwise, it was, I found it at least pedestrian. Like, I mean, it didn't look bad in any way, but I wasn't super blown away by it. But I don't know how these films were shot originally. Like, I don't know if they were shot in 4K or 2K or, you know, I really don't know. The sound was incredible, though. Like, I thought the sound was great. You know, ships flying all over my head. I had to keep turning my head, looking to see if I was going to get shot. You know, you know, laser blasts flying all over the place. So the sound was phenomenal. But at least with those two that I've watched, I didn't find the picture to be that superior to like Disney Plus or what we were getting there. So
I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that they're kind of newer movies.
Right.
I found, like I said, the three I've watched, absolutely blown away with Star Wars and Empire.
Yeah.
With the picture. I can't wait for you to get there because we grew up with these movies.
Right.
We've seen every iteration
of these
movies.
Yeah.
So you have memories. Like, I remember when an upgraded laser, not even the Laserdisc set that came out, the one before that. And it was like, it was an upgraded picture and you could see the cutouts of the TIE fighters.
Right.
On your, you know, on your TV, you'd see where the editing was. So I remember all of that stuff and to see everything now. And so the contrast is just unreal. To me, it's the how dark the everything gets and the detail that you're seeing and stuff that you didn't see before. And it's, just the picture alone in those two movies is it's night and day from now. Like I said, part of it might be my memory, my long memory of watching these movies.
Right.
But you're starting to see stuff that I was like, I didn't know those were there, or the colors are just that much more vibrant.
Right.
It, because these are 40-year-old movies.
In
my opinion, they did an unbelievable job with the picture on these, on the first three of the saga.
Right.
I say the original three, I should say, actually. Yeah. I found Rise of Skywalker looks great, but it's almost like that's expected.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When I get to Rise of Skywalker, I expect the 4K to blow me away because it was shot that way. It was intended to be that way. I expect the sound and the picture to be better than any of the other ones that we've watched. I mean, I haven't got there yet, but I'm assuming it probably is.
The sound is excellent. Yeah. It is, but to me, or what sets Star Wars and Empire apart so far, is that these didn't have that. But we know what these movies were like.
Right.
I mean, this is the first release of Rise of Skywalker. We have no comparison other than the digital copy that I watched a week or so ago.
Right.
And that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as what we have now on disc. But the sound in Star Wars and Empire is night and day. It's unreal. The Atmos, that I want to hear some behind the scenes stuff that maybe they did to reproduce these.
Right.
Because there are scenes in this, and I have one nitpick. I want to ask if you've seen this or I should say heard this yet. I have one nitpick. But there's a scene, there's a few scenes in Star Wars that I have never heard before, and there's one particular scene, and I apologize for the listeners. I didn't write anything down. I didn't take numbers. I'm just enjoying this stuff, right? But there is this one scene when they're at the end, spoilers, you know, just before they blow up the Death Star.
Damn.
In that space battle, right? There is a scene that I have never heard, or sound that I've never heard in any other movie. So we've all watched movies where we pan from left to right in the front, right? The sound goes across the front of the room like Terminator drives across the screen, right? We've all heard sounds go overhead. We've all heard them go down one side of the room. I have never heard this, but a TIE fighter, it went from left front channel, came at you across the screen to the middle, came up the middle of the room, and left on the same side.
Oh, yeah.
So it made a U around your room, through your room, but never went to the other side. And I've never heard that before. And my son was sitting with me and I was like, wow, like you literally heard it come in your room and out your room on the same side, but it came to the sound came to the middle of the room. I've never heard that. And to hear that in a Star Wars, A New Hope,
right?
The first movie, I thought was what they did to engineer this new Atmos.
Yeah, because I don't think they did that 43 awesome. Years ago.
Oh, no, so. No. And there is some great ambient sounds in all of these, in everything I've heard so far. Unbelievable use of discrete channels, where I don't know if you've noticed it in the first two, but you just hear stuff
Yeah, all over.
Like,
yeah.
You can localize it so well.
Yeah.
And that's my one nitpick. And I wanted to know if you've heard this. So it's the discrete usage and localization is so good that there is stuff going on off screen that should be on screen. I don't know. And now
I haven't noticed it. Yeah.
Okay. So in Star Wars, so you know the scene in Star Wars when Luke is cleaning R2 and C-3PO when they first got them, right? And R2 is on the right side of the screen. And he does his little wiggle thing before he plays Leia.
Right.
The video, right? Well, R2's on screen. He's right there.
But you're hearing
But the
sounds.
Noise for him wiggling in my theater comes about 2 feet to the left.
Okay.
Or to the right of the screen. So it's like he's wiggling on screen, but it's coming directly from my speaker, almost a little bit even to the right of my right channel speaker. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't sound right. And it's almost like it sounds like they engineered it so that if you had like a acoustically transparent screen and your speaker was right behind it, it would be dead on.
Right.
But how many people have that?
Yeah.
Most people have towers like you around a TV or speakers on either side of their screen, maybe mounted underneath. But that was the one drawback. In an Empire,
I'll look
it happens
for it
too.
For sure, now that I know about it, but I didn't notice it in the first two movies, at least.
I've never noticed it before in any movie. I've never had that happen. I even went and towed my speakers in a little more to see if I could maybe adjust for that. But I'm like, I've never noticed that in a movie before, and it's kind of disappointing me a little bit because some stuff is happening. Like in Empire, he's when he's sitting with Yoda in Yoda's hut.
Mm-hmm.
And he reaches for some soup on the left-hand side of the screen, and he, like, clanks the bowl. Well, the bowl clanking takes place, like, 2 feet to the left, but the bowl's sitting right there in front of you. You can see it. So right. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's odd. I'll definitely look for it, though.
Yeah, when you get to – I'm wondering if it's in – because they did such a good job of localizing in Star Wars and Empire so far. I can't even think of anything in Rise of Skywalker. It didn't jump out at me. I honestly forgot about it.
Right.
And then when I put Empire in, I'm like, there it is again. So I'm wondering if it's because they're older movies and they...
Some more engineering. Because like you said, Rise of Skywalker was engineered from the beginning that way.
In Atmos,
and
yeah.
And with these movies, they may have had to get creative where they play some of these sounds when they were doing the engineering. So I don't know I don't know how any of that works, but...
No.
But yeah, maybe, like you said, just because of the tracks they had to work with, they had to do some funny things that didn't turn out perfectly.
Right. But overall, I am so engrossed in these movies. It's the picture, I'm seeing things I hadn't seen before, and depths. It almost has, especially for Star Wars and Empire, a 3D depth to it.
Right.
I don't know how you feel. Well, you said... What, in Phantom Menace, what were a couple of scenes you didn't like?
In regards to...
The picture?
No, I wasn't... there wasn't anything that I didn't like. What I was saying is where the 4K really shined was in scenes like on Naboo. Like, even in the second movie, like when they go to her villa and it's basically, the Amalfi Coast in Italy,
Right.
I mean, the colors and it looked great. But in some of the other scenes and the battle scenes and things like that, I just don't think it stood out. Like, they just weren't super impressive as far as, at least I didn't think the 4K was that much better than just the, a Blu-ray copy or anything like that.
How'd the underwater scenes look in Phantom?
They looked pretty good. The colors there were really good as well. Very rich. I thought I thought the darks were good there. Overall, it was, it looked pretty good.
And, the chase scene.
Clones? Yeah, that was pretty good, too. Same thing, good city. The lighting was really good. The colors were crisp. Again, good darks because it's a night scene. Even inside the...
That's got to have good sound to it,
too. The sound was great. And inside the nightclub, it looked really good. Like I said, there were parts of it that looked great. But there were other parts where I...
Just pedestrian.
Yeah, I just don't think it was.
Oh.
It was good, but just like a Blu-ray quality. Like, you know, it just looked like 1080p for me. Like, when you see it, you know, we'll talk again, I'm sure, because you're going the opposite way as me. Next time we talk, I'll have I'll have watched all the original trilogy. And you'll be. I do have to say that even though I knew it wasn't going to happen, I still secretly held out hope that I was going to find those original cuts in there.
I know.
But they weren't there. Because I was going to make the comment that I think this is like the definitive set. Like, I don't think I'll ever buy this set again, but I would buy the, I would buy unaltered.
The original three.
Yeah. If they release those again in a 4K. Well, actually, if they just released them again ever, I'd buy them.
Right.
But that's all I'd be looking for would be the unaltered original trilogy. But like, this is the benchmark set, at least for the time being. You know, who knows when we have like 32K in 10 years and they do it again. I might have to buy them again, but
here's the thing, and that's one of the things that I wanted to touch on is when you go and see Star Wars and Empire and Jedi, and you see these in 4K, I one of the things that struck me with the detail, just looking at the detail in like Luke's face or in Leia's face, and seeing the difference between, you know, a guy and a girl. And like their pores, and you see how like how beautiful like Leia is in her skin.
Right.
And then you see the gruffness in their skin of Han Solo.
Right.
You know,
it's like, I don't want it to be any clearer than that.
Right. You know? But it's like, it is so clear that one of the things that struck me is like all of these years we've been watching, like go back to the VHS days.
Right.
Somebody had a copy of this.
Right.
Somebody saw the detail that we're seeing today.
Right.
Now, I don't know if the old, you know, CRT projectors back in the 80s or whatever, if they had a copy, if you could do that. I'm sure that the, you know, 70 millimeter film, that's where they got all of this from.
Right.
I'm sure that if you had the best projectors and you could get that close,
you would see this. You would see
But that's got to be a rare.
Yeah.
You know, a rare viewing. To be able to see the detail that we're seeing in an intimate environment that we're seeing it today.
Well, and at a certain point, these things are going to be so overproduced. Like, I want my older movies to look old. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's something to be said about the grain and, you know, the texture of an old classic movie. You know, I mean, I like the polish too, but, you know, can we go too far at some point? I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, and it you're right. It's like I've never been like, you know, I hear people argue about like, oh, that in Terminator 2 there wasn't enough grain or something, but Terminator 2 is a sci-fi. I don't mind if you take the grain out. It's like I get that. It's like, but that's to each his own. I'm not upset if you want that.
Right.
I don't mind it. I really enjoy like the detail and stuff. But yeah, when you wait till you get to Star Wars, we'll talk again.
Yeah, I'll be there in a couple days.
So good. actually, you will. What, by like
Saturday,
Sunday?
Yeah, probably
like that?
Saturday.
Yeah. So, all right. So, could maybe back next week?
Maybe
for
so.
At least
we'll
a segment?
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know if you got some free time.
I might have a few minutes. I can squeeze in, yeah.
I mean, I don't want my listeners
can
to
come
get.
Back with an HT update at least. You know,
there you go. I warned everybody I might do this all month because I haven't even got to the extras.
No, I haven't either.
I haven't watched a single extra yet.
7 more days from now, at least before I dig into the extras. So,
yeah, maybe we'll do a couple of those.
And I'm not a big extras guy, but for $250, I'm going to milk every second I can out of this set.
And you have the time.
And I have the time. So.
So. All right. Well, that's good for this week. So what did you guys think of John? Do you like having John on? Makes my job easier. I'm not sitting here talking to myself. That's for sure. But thanks for joining us, John.
You're welcome.
And what I'd like to do is if any listeners are interested, if you wanted to talk about your theater, DM me on Twitter or email me. Let me know. And maybe I'll talk to you about what it takes to do something like this, because we can get other people with their theaters, their favorite scenes, and I could do a segment like that if people are interested. You can, like I said, DM me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. It's not that hard. John has a setup because we podcast on Brightside Chat, But you don't have to be set up for a podcast. You need a computer for the setup that I'm running right now. Computer and headphones, really. If you're interested in it, let me know. I could maybe do one of those a month. That would be fun. Hoping John joins me again soon because I love talking Star Wars with him. And I love talking home theater, which we don't get to do on the other show as much. So, all right. That's it for this week. John, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
And hopefully you'll be back soon. But either way, I'll be back next week. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.